And it is a afternoon now on March 9th, talking with Sue Esty and Don and Elaine Dvorak. And so we'd like to continue and ask about the practice dives that you made as part of this expedition series. What was required of you? Where did you go? Things like that.
Okay, I'll go. As part of preparing to dive on Cordell Bank, we needed to do practice dives. Yeah, they could be done on your own, or it could be done as a group. One of the first dives I remember was not at the ocean, but it was at Marine World Africa USA in Belmont. We got to dive in one of their tanks with the fish. And we could be swimming. We would swim around in the tank, and we would look out at the people looking at us. So that was a real treat. You know, I don't think I could have done it any other way except through the expedition to dive in their tank. But we were trying out new equipment. We didn't need to do deep dives for new equipment. We were trying out communications underwater. What they call is hydrophones between divers and the surface. At that time, the technology was fairly new. We needed to trail about a 6-foot wire behind us that was on a buoy, a little flotation device. And the systems worked, but it was very cumbersome with this thing trailing behind you. And it was more overhead to wear. You need special masks with the microphone and the regulator in it. So we determined that that wasn't a good option to dive on Cordell Bank. And other places we practiced at were monastery. I think Sue mentioned earlier they dove in monastery. The interesting thing about monastery is it's a beach dive. And of course, we don't do beach dives to get to Cordell Bank. It's a long swim, for one thing. But it gives us the opportunity to evaluate the divers that want to be part of the expedition. You can see how well they can operate with their twin tanks and octopus regulator. If you have to be have a certain amount of strength and be able to handle this equipment. And it's even a little more complicated on sand. But we did see that some people's enthusiasm was a little higher than their ability. And this is what we need to know. You know, we just had to politely say, I'm sorry, this don't quite meet our requirements. We also dove the Farallon Islands. If I knew then what I know about the Farallons now, I might have opted out. I didn't realize it was a place where the seals hauled out during breeding season. There are a lot of little pups around. And you know, that's shark food. And I could be mistaken for shark food. However, I don't remember the date of the dive, so we might have been diving there off season. We had the opportunity to dive there and collect samples, I think we had a permit to collect samples. And of particular interest to me was that the North Farallons where the caves were?
My dive log has May 1990, North Farallons.
Right.
So it was well after all the Cordell Bank dives I'd done.
Oh, I see. I do remember diving there. And we found a horizontal cave. It was shallow, maybe about 6 feet, 8 feet, or 10 feet. But we all explored, went in there. And as you went in, it got narrower and narrower. But what was unusual is when you went in there, and the further back you get, the louder the surf noise became. And it became so loud that it was uncomfortable on your ears, at least on this dive. So So I never ventured too far back because it was just too uncomfortable. But there is an anemone, a large anemone, I think it's called Anthroplora. It's an anemone that often lives in sand or a hard substrate, and it could be 6 to 12 inches across, and they're intertidal in shallow waters. They do get a lot of sunlight, and they are green from the algae that grows in the tentacles. And I was so used to seeing Anthropora as green. In the caves, I saw an anemone I haven't seen before. Same size as Anthropora, but the tentacles were almost clear, luminescent. And they were white with a little purple on it. I said, wow, what a pretty anemone. I did manage to take some pictures of it. It says, I've seen something new. Later on, I found out it is Anthropora, but since there is no sunlight, the algae doesn't grow in it. So it keeps that whitish, clear picture to it. And that was an interesting part of diving the Farallones. And besides the potential of the sharks, which I didn't know about.
Sue, did you have anything to say about practice dives?
So first about the Farallones, I remember going in and it looked like there was an arch. That's an arch rock kind of thing. And I went to swim through that, but then I saw light kind of in a different direction. So I went that way towards the light and I was turned around. I didn't really understand at first that there were like the arch and this tunnel, but I saw the light. I went to the light, figuring I was going on the way, going out, you know. And I got further in, and it got rougher, kind of more surge, and gooseneck barnacles were growing towards the other end, and then this gray shape kind of just suddenly appeared out of the green water. And oh my God, you know, it's like, but. I was quite relieved to discover it was really a seal, not a great white shark. And once I got to the far end and realized I was on the, I must have been on the, like, towards the open ocean because there was a lot more movement in the water. I turned around, went out back the other way. But I have pictures of those white and pink anemones too. It was pretty neat. But practice dives, the ones I remember, mostly they were aimed at getting deep but close to shore so we could get assistance if we needed it. So they would be either at Monastery or Point Lobos, where the Marine Canyon, the Monterey Canyon, comes in close, so you can get deep pretty quickly. And good way to kind of remind yourself what narcosis feels like and still be able to get back to dry land pretty fast.